We have one of our ministry students that wants to come and is going to come and speak here for a few minutes. And his name's Dudley Smith. So why don't you come on up here, brother? Happens to be one of my son-in-laws. Oh, my favorite. My favorite in this building.
All right. Hope you all brought your Bibles today, because we're going to go through a lot of verses today. We're going to start in 1 Timothy, but when you're looking that up, I'm going to give a little dream I had, and that's what inspired this whole little sermon here. I don't know, it's got to be close to a year ago now. God gave me a dream. I'm going to give you a little word picture. Maybe y'all can get into it. Take yourself to Egypt, and we're going to go into the tombs, into the pyramids. I had a dream, I was in an Egyptian pyramid in the burial chamber, and there were two or three other people there. And as I was walking in, they were walking out. They had brown khaki shorts and white shirts. And the room was square with a tomb in the center, so that you could walk all the way around the tomb. As I looked around the room, I noticed that it was covered with red glowing eyes. As I watched them, they started to disappear. I saw them turn into what I think was crows. They flew to a castle. They had to cross over huge molten lava. I realized where they were flying to was Satan's lair. When I came back, I was in the room. You know, the room with the chamber. When I came back from that, I went to a room where they had set aside for all, where, you know, where they bury them with all the money. And I was looking around, and I realized there was no way out of that room. You're trapped in that room. And what God showed me was, you have to get rid of all the treasures of this earthly realm to find your way out, and the way out is Jesus himself. So I'll just read through what I wrote here. What God is saying through this dream is, if you put all your faith into riches without God, you'll spend eternity with your God. Not that there's anything wrong with having money, as long as money does not have you. God needs his people to have money so that we can give when God says to give. If God blessed you with money or possessions, it is not so that we can hoard it up and worship it. It is to promote and expand his kingdom. Okay, now we're going to 1 Timothy 6:6-10. I cheated, I wrote it all down, so I don't have to look it up. But 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therefore content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Love of money is the root of all evil. You can have a love of money and not even have a dime to your name. Now we're going to go to Matthew. Matthew 6. Matthew 6:19-21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. God says that earthly treasures will be rusted and moth-eaten and stolen, so we should not lay up treasures. But did you know God called us a treasure? We're going to go to Luke 12. 16-21. And he, Jesus, spoke a parable unto them, saying, This ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich towards God. God said we should be rich towards him, not earthly things. And now with Matthew 19:16-26. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest me thou good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep thy commandments. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth, what yet lack I? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when a young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard that, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I'm going to go to Mark 10:17-27. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him, and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest me thou good? There is none good but one, which is God. Thou knowest the commandments. See, I'm reading through this again because God said it was so important, he put it in, you know, more than one book. So, thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. and come take up the cross and follow me. And he said, and he was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about and saith to his disciples, how hardly shall they have that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they say, and they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Now we're going to go to Luke 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest me thou good? None is good, save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandment, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, as these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto them, yet lackest one thing. See all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they that heard it, whom they then can be saved. He said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Back in Jesus' time, the eye of the needle, anybody know what that was? I'm going to tell you anyway. Back in Jesus' time, when the big walled cities, they had gates that were open all during the day. At night, they closed those big gates. And they had little doors in them so that travelers at night could go through. Well, that was called the eye of the needle. So what Jesus is saying is it's easier to go through, take a camel through that gate. You have to unload him, walk him through, and load him all back up. So he says it's easier to do all that than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. And I have in here, for the rich man at trust. Oh, let me see. Back up a minute. It's easier for that camel to be reloaded than for a rich man to trust in God. Because most rich people have more faith in their money than in God. Money is their God. I'm going to go to James. James 2. 1 through 7. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, which with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there came in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect for him which weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and have become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? The Bible isn't saying here that all rich people are evil or against God. But so often the rich feel that they are above God and do not need Him because they are trusting in their money to get them everything they want and need in life. And after life, you know, good works, charity, etc. They think those good works will get them into heaven. But by trusting that what they do not, by trusting that what they will not, what they have won't get them in heaven. They blaspheme Jesus and what He did on the cross. Because accepting His shed blood as payment for our sins is the only way into heaven. You cannot buy your way into heaven. You cannot do enough good works to earn your way there. Right. James 5, 1 through 6. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupt, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasures together for the last day. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered in the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived in pleasure on earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and doeth not resist you. Luke 16. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or money. Mark 8, 34 through 38. And when He had called the people unto Him with His disciples also, He said unto them, Whosoever will come after Me, let them deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whoever shall lose his life for My sake and the Gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of Me and of My words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when He cometh in the glory of His Father with the holy angels. You need to ask yourself, what is worth an eternity of separation with God? Is it your car, your house, your husband or wife, your friends, your comfort? Matthew 13, 43 through 46. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whom hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure, hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy therefore goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that treasure. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, whom when he found one pearl, great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. We need to make God our treasure, like He has made us His treasure. Remember when I said he called us his treasure? He called us a treasure before we were even worth being called a treasure, before he died for us. Amen. We can't ride the fence. It's not an option. God is either our treasure or he is not. There is no middle ground, no gray areas. Go to Revelation 3, verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth. You either have to be for God, or you are against him. It's like the verse about not serving God and mammon. You can't serve God, and the world, or yourself, or fun, you know, or whatever. You need to jump off the fence, one way or the other. Because otherwise, you are just pretending to be something you're not. And you're nothing, and pretending like that, you're just being miserable. So you may as well jump off and live however you want to live. Be happy for the moment. But remember, you're going to have to pay for it in the end. With torture and crawling, and worms crawling in and out of you, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and there is utter darkness separated from God forever. James 1, verse 15. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So you can choose to have a very temporary happiness here on earth. Nobody telling you how to live, no boundaries, and pay the price of eternal damnation in hell. Or you can choose life, which is Jesus. Getting hard to see. Yes, it is a choice of surrendering your life to God and living the way he wants you to live. But it brings joy. Which is eternal and more fulfilling than anything you could experience in the world without him. Let's go to Deuteronomy 30. Verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Today is a day to make a choice. Satan in the world, which is death, or God, which is life. Only you can make the choice for your life. Which is it? Joshua 24. Verse 15. Says, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. So you have to ask yourself, where is your treasure today? Is it in worldly things, or is it in God? That's all I have today. you've never made that choice today to choose God, and you want to, there'll be people come up here and pray. You're more than welcome to come up. But if you have, you don't want to leave here today without Him. Because the worms and the darkness without light, that's only the beginning of hell. So I welcome anybody that's never, or that would like to rededicate, come on up, and we have all of our prayer people happy to pray for you.